We are continuing to talk about the Holy Spirit and His works.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically today, we're going to continue to elaborate on the gift of tongues. And we know the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is a controversial subject in many churches. Frankly, we're not really sure why.
Right.
Very honestly, we're not sure why. Because if you would do an honest study of the Word of God, you will find that it's very plainly explained in there, and it's completely biblical. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping, I mean, I think this is week number two or three for us.
Three
since we began. And really, you can talk about this, and we do intend to explain a little bit more about spiritual gifts because it
yes.
can be confusing. The Bible uses the word spiritual gifts, and it can refer to different things. And sometimes what the mistake is, we lump it all into one basket. And then we just try to figure it out from there. And so Scripture makes it plain as we look at it. And you really cannot find one verse that says that the spiritual gifts, the supernatural spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased.
Right.
And the church, really, when you think about it, the church needs to operate in all the power and the gifting that we can. Amen?
Come on. Yes.
That the Lord made available to us by suffering on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, rising from the grave, and now we have this inheritance in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And we should want to discover the will of God by reading the will of
Come
God.
Come on.
Amen. And so studying these things as we talk about them, it makes the faith for to receive rise in our heart, because the Bible does say faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So as we speak these things to you, this has been our prayer that all of our faith would rise up. We'd say, Lord, we want to see and
yes.
operate in the gifts that you died to give us.
Yes.
And it's been wonderful, actually, the last few weeks to see the joy and the increased hunger in people in the church to want to receive more of the things of God in their heart, to desire to see more of his manifested presence in their life. We should. Several people have been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, with the evidence of speaking in a heavenly prayer language. And that's awesome.
Yes.
And there's an excitement that is growing as people are experiencing a greater mm-hmm. awareness. And the presence of God even then at work in their daily lives.
Yes.
When you read, if you're connected to our Bible reading, and I would encourage you if you're not.
Hook up.
We're reading through the yeah. New Testament in a year, so it's a slow reading. You can keep up. It's only one chapter, basically, a day.
Great comments on there. Keep
great
those
comments,
rolling.
Yes.
Yeah.
To feel like, how do these words relate to this person, and how are they relating to me? We need that kind of fellowship with one another, and you'll find it on that YouVersion app. So I would encourage you to get on our ministry app and find it and just join in right where we
yeah.
are. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're behind. So what? Better to start somewhere. Amen? And finish.
Yes. And finish.
And finish.
Can everybody say that? And finish.
Because at the end of the year, when you finish, I guarantee you, I speak it just by the word of God, because it's living and active. Your life will become slowly transformed if you act
yes,
upon it.
For sure.
And this is what's really been happening. As some of you have been reading the Word of God and opening up your heart in faith, God's meeting you there. And you're growing.
Yes.
To know Him more personally. And this is part of the mission of the church. We, you know, Jason often says this, or Amanda every week, to know God is the beginning.
Yes.
And this has been our desire as pastors since we started the church. It'll be actually 20 years ago in
November.
This November.
Yeah, 20
yeah,
years.
20 years. But it's been our prayer all along, you know, that people would come into the church and really want to know God. Because you can come to church all your life and know about God.
Mm.
And some of you are discovering,
come on.
God, as I'm reading the word, I'm really getting to know him. He's personal. He's real.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what it's all about. This is what our relationship is about. And it's exciting because you're really tapping into eternal life. Jesus said,
yeah.
This is eternal life, to know him. And it's not knowing about him. It's knowing that he lives in you and he has a plan and purpose for your life. And that's part of that second part of the mission is
yeah.
as you know him, you realize he has a purpose for your life. And that purpose, number one part of it, is to discover your newfound identity in Christ.
That's right.
You've been made a new creation in Christ. Don't let that just go over your head.
You find out who you are.
Because it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past, the new is coming now. All things are of God. And so it's our journey then to discover. Mm-hmm. Our primary purpose is to discover who in Christ God made you to be. It's not enough to just come to church and hear the word.
Amen.
You have to know, who did you make me to be? What's my purpose? And there's so many wonderful things about our purpose, that you're loved, cherished by God. You've been made righteous and holy in your spirit
right.
before God. Your past is forgiven. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
You have a new future in Christ.
Yes.
In Christ. You belong to the kingdom of God. And so therefore you have a new destiny in God.
Yes.
You've been blessed, it says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have to take time to search out what that means.
Yes.
Because when you do, when you discover that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, the third person of the Trinity dwells in every born-again believer.
Yes.
And he's to be your teacher and guide now to help you explore who you've become in Christ. Well, when you discover that, there's something that lights up on the inside of you, or should.
Yes.
Or you should ask him. This is part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Open this up to me, Lord. Take the dullness off of my eyes.
Come on, yeah.
Right? That you've been given the gift of his righteousness.
That's pretty awesome.
And then you are ordained to do good works for him. Have you thought about these things? If you're in this church, we keep bringing these things up so that you do think about them. Because this is what makes our life in Christ exciting and an adventure.
Yes, right? Definitely an adventure.
That he takes you on.
And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's the truth is, our main purpose is to renew our minds, to rise up to our new identity. There are over 140 passages in the Bible that talk about us being in him, in Jesus. See, these are spiritual realities that God has opened up to us, and all we have to do is investigate. He wants us to live in the power of God. He wants us to live and experience the life that has been transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's the truth. And of course, it's not just about you. You renew your mind because the mission God has you on here and now, it goes beyond you to affect people around you that you know and some that you don't know. Because this Jesus is counting on you. He's counting on me to be a witness, to be a light, to be salt of this earth. And this earth, don't you know, it's lost, it's broken, and it's a dying world. And he's a man of faith. Jesus is a man of faith. God the Father is a God of faith. So therefore, he has faith in you to do what he's called you to do. But we have to renew our minds to it. Jesus wants you to become a disciple. A disciple. He wants you to become a disciple. He doesn't want you to just sit on the bench. If you give your life to Christ, you're on the front lines. He puts you right out there. Think about the madman in Gadara. Devils cast out of him, thousands of devils cast out of him. Oh, Jesus, let me come with you. He says, no, go tell everybody. He didn't have any Bible training, did he? No. But then you find out what the effect that man had. The next time Jesus comes into that country, everybody comes to see him. That could be you. Amen. We are to tell others about Jesus and what he's done in our life. We're to make a disciple. And then that disciple is to go make another disciple. And then make another follower of Christ. And then make another follower of Christ. That's exactly what. Could you imagine that? If everybody in this place, everybody, goes out and makes two disciples. Two. And then those people that you've made disciples goes out and makes another two disciples.
Each of those.
Each of them. Think how fast we could actually change Butler and the entire the surrounding areas. We could change this in a matter of a year, I would say. Just think about it. Multiplication. Jesus is relying on you. He's relying on me to do this. You know, this is the important thing. It really is. And our job as pastors is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. We're pouring into you so that you could pour into other people. The Great Commission isn't just for pastors, amen? It's for every single one of you out here.
Which is really what's happening with the whole Cuba mission.
Correct, correct.
A couple people going there and even people giving into it. Because our purpose isn't just to discover it for ourselves.
Right.
You know, our purpose is to go out and reach another person for Christ.
That's right.
Because for God so loved the world, this is why he gave Jesus. But he's going to use us to tell people.
And right? You know what? When the church itself is relying on the Holy Spirit, and we live by being led by the Spirit, this can happen. It really can happen. We just need to learn how to yield our lives, our thinking, and how to be led by the Spirit of God. Is Jesus interested in people? Yes. He came here and died for everybody. The whole world's sin. Nobody's out of bounds. Every single person you lock eyes with are going to live forever. It just depends on where. And it's our responsibility to be the witnesses that God wants us to be. We need to make the step, and then the Spirit of God will come on us to make those proclamations that we need to make. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, whom we love. And we want to know you. We want to know you better than what we did yesterday. And then tomorrow we want to know you in a greater way. Our mission is to know you, Lord. Our mission also is to understand the gifts that you've given to each one of us. Then operate in those gifts. We yield our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to open our eyes. Open our eyes so that we might walk in your ways. Whether it's difficult or easy. We want to be led by you, Jesus. Your Spirit upon us. Your Spirit within us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, we want to start off today about looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our salvation and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, it will be on PowerPoint, but it would be really good. These scriptures will help us. It will really reveal the work of the Holy Spirit. It'll distinguish the difference between the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Often they get really confusing. What people think one thing is the other and the other thing is this, but they're distinctly two different works. Everybody there? We're going to start in verse 5. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a religious teacher, a highly respected man. And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born again? Will he go back into his mother's womb?" And he's explaining the difference between being born of the Spirit and a natural birth of a child. And he's saying that you must be spiritually reborn. And that happens when we surrender our lives to Christ. When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. And the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth is an inside work. It's an invisible work. You don't see it happening, but it's the greatest miracle that ever could happen in your life. And that happens when you surrender your life to Christ. You give yourself to Him. And when you are, when you do that, the Bible declares that you're born again, born of His Spirit.
Yeah, it's in verse 8.
Yeah. And it's at that point, that instant, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what a thorough work the Holy Spirit does with your spirit. You're born again, born of the Spirit. And again, you can't see that with your natural eye. It's just like the wind. You can't see the wind with your natural eyes, but you can see the effects of the wind. Amen? Just look back at your own life, how much your life has changed. You've been delivered out of the domain of darkness into God's beloved Son, into His kingdom. You are a child of light. Jesus says you're the light of the world. These things are spiritually understood. And when you're born again, your eyes are open because the Holy Spirit indwells you. And what we have to do is just like we started off at the beginning. We got to renew our mind and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. He's our leader. He's our teacher. He's our guide. He's going to deliver what God wants to deliver to you personally, but it takes you to be the investigator. Amen?
Yeah. So the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of every believer. When you give your life to Christ, your spirit on the inside of you is made alive to God's spirit. God is spirit. We talked a little bit about this last week, spirit, mm-hmm. soul, and body.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you in your spirit if you're born again. And you become the temple,
yes.
of the Holy Spirit for Him. That's a pretty amazing, miraculous thing. Again, you cannot see, and this is why I think when Jesus said the wind blows where it wills, you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. You can't dissect this. Like, where is this happening in me? But look at Romans 8:16.
Awesome.
This is a scripture that helps us some. It says the Spirit, Romans 8:16.
This is when you are looking at a scripture like this, that's where you ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand.
Yeah.
That's how you become a disciple. Teach me this.
And these are spiritual truths. See, this is why Nicodemus, who was the Pharisee, well taught in Old Testament scripture, but he was like, what are you talking about? How can a baby be reborn, go back into the mother's womb? He's thinking in the natural. Jesus is explaining spiritual truths. And this is important for the church to gain spiritual thinking. Okay, so Romans 8:16 says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What does that mean? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, this again is hard to put into natural words, but it means that the basic thing that I can say that it means is somehow deep inside of you, in your own spirit, you know, you have an awareness after you've given your life to Christ that God lives in you. He dwells in you. And somebody will say, how do you know? You go, I can't explain it, but I know He is in me. How many of you would get what I'm saying? Yeah. And really, the more that you frequently fellowship with God through His word, because this is the Lord is speaking to us. His word is alive and powerful. So when you're reading the word, the more you fellowship with Him, the more this inner witness of the Holy Spirit starts to grow and you become more aware of Him on the inside. Wouldn't some of you say, amen,
for
that happens to me? In other words, like certain things, you might be reading the word, maybe, you know, you've read something a few times and then this time you're reading it and all of a sudden it's like, it's like I see something. I understand this better, how this applies to my life. And who's talking to you there? It's the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. He's teaching you. See, this
good.
Is the way the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us into all truth. It's pretty miraculous. So when you're born again, because people will say, I thought I got the Holy Spirit. Well, you did. He came to dwell in you. He lives in you to be your teacher and your guide through all the affairs of life. As you read the word of God, he will teach you and guide you and bear witness to your spirit. But there's also a work of the Holy Spirit that God desires to accomplish in every believer's life after the new birth,
yes.
After you're born again. And that's called the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what we've been talking about. So then there's the work of the Holy Spirit in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have that up on the slide here, the work of the Holy Spirit, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spoke about this. In Luke 24, we're going to show you a couple scriptures where Jesus himself mentions this, because he just told Nicodemus, you must be born again, but he uses different words in describing this working of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, Jesus is talking to several of his disciples at this point, not just the 11, but several of them. And after he's appeared to them, after his resurrection, Luke 24, 49, and behold, he says, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you.
Upon.
But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So now Jesus is saying there's a promise of the Father that will come upon you. Different than how he described to Nicodemus, you're going to be born of the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit is going to come upon you. And look, he says this again, if you just go a little bit further in Acts chapter 1.
Toward the...
Oh, no. Keep going.
Go forward in your Bible to the back.
Towards the end of the Bible. If you're flipping pages, use your right hand to flip. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. This is Jesus again.
Yes.
Speaking. And it says, and while staying with them, again, this is before he's going to ascend back into heaven. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's not saying you're going to be born of the Spirit.
Right.
Many days from now, he's saying you're going to be baptized with the Spirit not many days from now. And then when you read a little bit further, Acts 1:8, he tells us why.
Yes, he says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Then this is on the day of Pentecost. This is Remember we talked about last week that a mighty rushing wind and people came to see what the noise was all about. The disciples are out there speaking in tongues, talking about the wonderful works of God. And Peter sees this opportunity and he starts to preach the gospel to them. He goes, it was a powerful sermon. And the Bible declares 3,000 people got born again that day.
They were convicted of their sin.
And then they came to a place, because that's the Holy Spirit's job too, is to convict the world of sin and of righteousness. So these people were convicted by the Holy Spirit, and this is what they did. They cried out, no, what should we do? Because Peter said, you guys crucified the Prince of Life and asked for a murderer instead. And then they recognized what they did, and so they said, no, what can we do? What should we do? And Peter answers in verse 38, and we'll read 38 and 39. Peter said to them, what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That is where they're born again. Then he comes back, and then he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for what? Who? You and only you. The promise is only for a select few. The promise will be gone in a matter of months. No, it says the promise is for you and for your children. Look at this. And for all who are far off. For everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Is God still wanting people saved? Is God still calling people to himself? Well, this promise then is still available to everybody who... Peter's explaining the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's explaining, and people saw and heard that day what was going on. And Peter's saying it's available to everybody. Everybody. The Holy Spirit was poured out after Jesus was glorified. That happened 2,000 years ago. And he's still pouring his Spirit out on people today. Whoever's thirsty, whoever's hungry, whoever is seeking, whoever's knocking, whoever is asking, he will give it to them. Because Jesus said, out of his innermost part will flow rivers of living water. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit has an evidence of speaking another tongue. This is a gift for all believers. Goes back to Luke 24. It's the promise of the Father. Actually, this promise was given to Abraham. And Mark 16 makes it very clear. Is the Great Commission still operating today?
Yes.
The Great Commission?
Yes.
Yes. Well, in Mark 16, it says believers will speak with new tongues. So if the Great Commission is still operating, tongues is still available to everybody. Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus says you'll be endued with power. Endued with power. Do you want any power?
Yes.
No, I don't need no power. She needs the power because she has to live with me. No, I want power. Don't you? Well, I'm not going to be satisfied till I have the full measure. I'm not. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit opens you up to the spiritual realm in a greater way. And it will make you a bolder witness for Christ. Without a doubt. And there's a distinction between being born of his Spirit and baptized in his Spirit. In order to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to be born of his Spirit first. And then it's all available to us. We'll speak in a devotion. It's your private devotional. It's a prayer language that you're praying to the Father. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. There's so many things that the Spirit of God does for you as you yield yourself to him. Yeah. He'll make you smarter than you really are.
What did that mean? So, is that my cue to go on?
Well, I could keep going.
So, okay, in this message, we wanted to explain the two different expressions of the gift of tongues, because there's confusion about this. So there are two different expressions of the gift of tongues. And even like in Scripture, we just read that Scripture in Acts 2. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. There's the word baptized, but he's referring to water baptism.
Yes.
And so when you have to just read the Word of God, read it in its entirety, and these things begin to get pieced together in the right way.
Yes.
But there's two different expressions then of the gift of tongues that's mentioned in Scripture. And they have two different purposes.
Yes. Yes.
Even. And this is, many people have lumped all speaking in tongues together into one basket, and this is where the confusion comes in.
Right.
And so this is key to understanding what Scripture is saying about the gift of tongues. And this is one of the things, is there's the private gift of tongues. This is what we've been talking about.
Yes.
That's for every believer, that Jesus just said, that you'd be endued with power from on high, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for every believer. And then Scripture talks about the public ministry of the gift of tongues with interpretation.
With interpretation.
All right? That's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12.
Let's
pardon?
Let's go there.
Yeah, and I would encourage you, really, if you want to understand this, read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 all together sometime this week and next week, and as we go through this. And these things will become clearer and clearer to you. But there's the private gift, and there's the public ministry gift. One is prayed and spoken only in private. The other is a public ministry that's spoken out publicly to people in the church.
Yes, now, with an interpretation.
With an interpretation, yeah. So in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul is writing here about nine supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit that are meant to be at work in the church.
Come on.
All right? And in fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and you look at verse 1, he says, I don't want you to be misinformed or ignorant.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, about the gifts. Sadly, the majority of the church is misinformed and uninformed about the spiritual gifts. And this is often why we don't see any movement of them. Because, again, faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
And if nobody's
yes.
talking about it, it's as though it doesn't exist. There's no faith to rise up and let the Holy Spirit move through any one of us mm-hmm. in these gifts. And this has been our prayer, that as we talk about this, the Holy Spirit will begin to move on the people of Community Life Church.
Yes.
And these gifts will begin to operate. But let's read 1 Corinthians 12. This is I'm going to read 4 to 7. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
There we go.
All right? Say, for the common good.
Yeah, for the common good. Yeah. Yeah, these gifts are meant to work in the church, through the people of the church. There's a variety of gifts, and we need to understand these things. We don't want you to be ignorant. We want them to operate in this church. Why? Because verse 7, it says, for the common good. And what else in verse 7? It says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. You know, just think about it. The Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself in these gifts through you. Through you.
Yeah.
And you've got to desire these things.
That's right.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we don't teach about these things, you'll never know. If we give you an insight on these things, then you can yield to that gifting that you have, and you could edify the church.
Or it may,
for the common good,
and you say the gifting that you have, most of us, I mean, when we all start reading the word, we're like, I don't know if I have any gift. What gift do I have? But as we seek the Lord on it and say, well, Lord, if you've gifted me, you said to each one is given a gift.
Come on.
Well, do you want the gift? See, this is part of our faith rising up and asking God, well, I want the gift then. You said you've blessed me with every spiritual blessing. Are we seeking to want the gift? Because these things will open up to us by faith. The Lord is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to just fall on us. Now that you've spoken about gifts and we all just sit here, boom. No, it's not going to happen that way. You have to want, ask and seek and knock.
Yes.
And Jesus said, you know, if you do, and those who hunger and thirst will be filled.
Yes.
And so as we speak this, our prayer is the hunger and thirst in each one of us is going to rise up.
Yes.
And they go, you know what? If you died to give me this gift, Lord, I want to know what it is. And when we get that kind of determination and faith,
come on now.
We'll see some things happen amongst us.
The other day we read about in Luke 6, it's talking about the house that they were built, and the one house, the storms come and knocks it down. But the house that stood during that storm was why? It's because he dug deep. He dug deep. And that's what God is telling us. Dig deep into this so that these gifts can operate through you. He will reveal to you what gifts you have. Because it's for the common good of the church. It's for the common good of the church. These things shouldn't be scary to us. Because you're born of His Spirit. This is a gift from the Spirit. It should be, load me up, Lord. I'm ready. Then he'll say, well, no, you're not quite ready. You need to learn of this. And this is what we're going to do. Look at verse 8. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We're going to explain, we're going to take time, and we're going to explain in the coming weeks what these gifts are. The gift of the word of wisdom isn't that I'm pretty smart. It's not at all like that. It's supernatural. These are going to be interesting, and these are going to be, I hope, stir your spirit enough for you to start to really inquire, and in your prayer time, ask God to teach you about these things. Do you see that this gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues is mentioned here? And now that's a different expression than our private devotional prayer language. Like Pastor Mamie said, we can't throw that all in the same box and say, oh, I know about that. No, they're two different things. The private devotional prayer language is for everybody. Everybody who's born again. And the gift of the speaking in tongues and interpretation is as the Spirit wills. Not everybody will have that. Not everybody will have that public ministry. You know, Paul writing all this is to help people figure it out. Because this is as the Spirit wills. In verse 30 it says, if you take a look at verse 30, it says, do all do not have the gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? The answer is no. He is talking about the ministry gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. The purpose for that is to edify the church. Tongue, a public tongue and interpretation is simple prophecy. It's prophecy. The Spirit of God will come upon a person and they will speak and exercise their faith, a public display of that, there has to be an interpretation. Now, many times I'm praying in the Spirit and that's my devotional language. I do ask for interpretation of that, but most of the time I don't get any interpretation. But that doesn't discourage me from understanding the benefits of praying in my own devotional language.
Right. Because we spoke about some of that last week.
Yeah.
Speaking mysteries to God. See, the personal language is to God.
Yes.
The public is coming out. It's from God, but it's to the people. It's like God has some word for this group here today. So someone, and we've had this gift operate in our church.
Yes.
Where someone, Cindy operates, and Pastor Ben, you know, stand up and give a tongue, and then one or the other, often an interpretation.
Yeah.
And it's to edify the church. It's like a word to all the people. Mm-hmm. Well, when I'm praying privately in the Spirit, I may or may not. On occasion, I've had a little interpretation of what I'm praying, but not often at all for over the years.
Yes.
But I'm praying out secrets and mysteries of the will of God. I'm praying the perfect will of God because it's coming from the Holy Spirit within me. He knows how to pray a perfect prayer, right? And so that's the difference. One is public, mm-hmm. for the common good of all, spoken publicly, but it must have an interpretation.
Yes.
You know, and this is where I think it went wrong in the Corinthian church, because they were so enamored with the gift of the speaking in tongues that people would stand up and speak in a tongue, and they were speaking out of their private prayer language. There was no interpretation. And people were like, we don't know what you're saying. And so this was the confusion.
Yeah.
But then there is the nine gift of the Holy Spirit, where it's a public use and gift of the tongue. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. It's going to help us understand a little bit better here too. So Paul's helping the people in the church of Corinth, when you read these chapters 12, 13, and 14, how the gift of tongues is meant to operate decently and in order.
Yes.
Because he says, don't forbid the speaking in tongues, but let's do this decently and in order. First, this is not going to be on the screen, so you're going to have to turn there in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 14. Starting with verse 2, this is Paul. He's saying, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men. Now, he's talking about the private language, but to God.
Right.
For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Again, he's explaining the private gift of tongues here. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their public or for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation.
Uh-huh.
The one who speaks in a tongue builds up who? Himself.
That's your private devotional language.
But the one who prophesies builds up the church. And he's talking really about prophesying in the known language here. But but again, tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. And then verse 5. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy, because the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up.
There you go.
So the whole point is, if you're in a public gathering, you want it to be for the common good.
That's right.
You want everyone to be edified in the church.
Let's go to verse 26
here.
Yeah,
let's skip to verse 26.
He says, what then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up. If any speak in tongues, let there be only two or three, at the most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. If there is no interpreter, let them keep silent in church and speak to himself and God. Verse 39, so my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But all things should be done decently and in order.
I thought it's interesting. Paul says, I want you all to speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Then he says, do not forbid to speak in tongues.
Yeah. And he wouldn't say that if it wasn't for all believers. And then in another verse, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. He valued that prayer language, that private prayer language.
If we're right there and we looked at chapter 14, look at verse 1. This is really important for us.
14:1.
And this is really highlighted in my Bible. It says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Each one of us should spend some time in our prayers desiring, telling God, asking him for spiritual gifts. It's going to build the church up. And the church needs building up, amen?
Amen.
We are swimming against the current of this world.
Yeah.
And we need all the strength we can. And if somebody has a prophecy, it should be given, because it will strengthen the church. If somebody has a public tongue, you should give it. Because in this church, we do have interpreters. And that equals prophecy, which will edify and build up the church. And do you think this church would be filled with people if somebody in here has the gift of healing? People would come from all over to come in his church. Then we tell them about the love of Jesus. But if we are ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit and don't even intend to ask God about them, well, you'll have nothing.
But that's not us.
That's not us. Hallelujah. That is not us. Do you want all that God has for you?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. And we receive from God by faith. We have to keep that in mind.
Yes.
When there's sincere desire in our heart, it's just like somebody who, is God real and all the, you know. Well, if a person could just get into neutral and say, God, if you are real, show me.
There's a big difference.
Would make himself known.
Come on.
It's when we allow him to move and we have some faith there. God will fill the hungry and thirsty heart.
Yes.
And his promise is that this gift will endue you with power. And again, sometimes on the day that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you speak in tongues, it might feel as though, I know I felt that way. I was at work, but it just seemed like all day, like, whoa, what is happening in my life? Well, then the next day, you may not feel that same level. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit died down. You know, what we have to do with it is continue to just pursue God and pray in the Spirit and seek him and fellowship with other believers. And then this is how you keep the fire that came on the day when you received alive and burning. Otherwise, it can fizzle out and just dwindle. And people will go, well, I received that a long time ago, but nothing happened now. I've talked to a lot of people like that. So we have to remember, if we're responsible to keep the fire stirred up on the inside of us, keep being filled, it says in Ephesians 5.
Yes.
And we do that simply by praying in the Spirit, reading the Word of God.
Fellowshipping.
Talking about the things of God. Obeying the things of God. And then pretty soon you feel like, you know, my life just has this steady passion in it.
Yes.
That I'm not going to grow cold in the things of God. And so we wanted to close today. We had a couple people, several people in the church that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we thought hearing a testimony from them may help other people feel like, well, if it happened, if they were filled, I want to be filled.
Yeah.
And so this, Alex and Kelly, would you come on up and give them a hand as they come? Because this can be can create a little bit of nerve. But yeah. So we asked them to, if they'd be willing to come up and just share a little bit about what happened in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like that, maybe to start off, like, why did you want to pursue the baptism? Had you ever heard of this before you came to the church?
Not like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I've like heard of tongues, and it was always like, oh, that's like too strange for me.
Yeah.
But it was really just like a Bible study that we had talked about it. We were talking about Acts and like what it really meant for like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and like that just what started it for me. So I would like go home and like go in the Bible app and like type in Holy Spirit, like what does that mean?
Uh-huh.
And then we had talked about it the next week. Sorry, my heart's pounding
so
fast.
That's all right. That's all right. Take a deep breath. Everything's good. These are just all your people here.
Yeah, and then, this is family.
A couple weeks ago, whenever you first invited anyone up to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had like prayed with Susan. And, like, I was just, like, totally, like, overwhelmed, I think. And, like, I have a tendency of, like, getting, like, in my own head and letting, like, my thoughts stop me. So, like, I just, like, left that day. And then, like, me and Alex were talking, like, kind of defeated, I guess, because I didn't, like speak in tongues.
All, yeah.
So then we met with Steve and Mamie the Tuesday after. And, like, it happened for us. We had, like, a really good conversation. And, like, it was very intense. And it was just, like... But still, like, I was thinking of, like, just a short phrases.
Yeah.
And then, it just started with, like, short phrases for me. I don't know. Nothing, like, flowed out, but it was, like, short. And you're like, yeah, that's it. I was like, oh, okay.
How about you, Alex?
Yeah. Pretty much the same experience. Last Tuesday I came up, and like Kelly said, I was... just kind of felt like I was in my own way when I left. And then we met with Pastor Steve and Mamie. And it was a great experience. I felt a crazy energy going through me, serious, like, good burning, like, in my chest and throat. And
Holy Spirit and fire.
Yeah, that's right.
On the way home, a couple syllables came out, and they stuck with me.
There you go. Yeah.
Have you noticed anything different about, I say boldness because
you came
on Wednesday night prayer.
Yes.
And tell them just, I mean, this may.
I came to prayer meeting this past Wednesday, and usually, like, the last one I came to, I just, like, sat in the back and, like, let everyone, like, that was the first time I really heard, like, tongues spoken, like, being present. That was, like, that threw me for a loop. But then this past Wednesday, I came and, like, it was just so weird. Like, it was, like, exciting hearing people, like, speak it. And then even, like, the prophet, like, I don't know. It's just, like, a whole different feel that you get. And then, like, I was, like, looking at Bible verses, and I actually, like, said one out loud, which I never would have done. If anyone knows me, like, I will sit back and, like, not say anything. But I, like, did it twice.
You did it twice.
Yeah.
You
did, I was really nervous, twice. But I felt better after doing it.
So there's some boldness already.
Yeah.
That's coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Anything else you want to add to that, Alex?
Just the power of prayer so far has been really good, and reading the Bible, just discernment on what things mean.
Yeah,
been great.
Yeah.
So you're being drawn closer to Jesus, and
it's a filling experience.
Awesome. Yes,
and that's really what the baptism is about. It's like, I want the fire of God in my life. We don't really make it. We speak. We're explaining tongues, but it's not just speaking in a heavenly language. It's, you want all of God.
Like a filling,
Let me read this scripture here. In Jude verse 20, it says, "Beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." It's exactly what Alex just told you was happening in his life. Yeah. Exactly. Now, this gift is for everybody. Everybody who's a believer. Every single one.
And I just want, because the two of you are reading on the devotional.
Yeah.
Can you give the people just some encouragement on why you think that's a good thing to do? How's it helping you?
I would say don't stray away from something that could bring you closer to God. It's just a great experience. I was very nervous to do it.
Even though you're reading privately.
Yeah.
But
it's been great.
Yeah. So it's just drawing you closer into a relationship with Jesus, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was just a normal language, English language prayer, and I was done with that prayer, and just tongues just started coming out, and I wasn't even aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Do you want to say anything that just encourage people? Why do you like reading that Bible app?
I think it's devotional. Just, like, makes it, like what you were saying earlier, like, it just makes, like, Jesus, like, real. Like, you can have a real relationship with him, not like some far-off person that's, like, untouchable.
Yeah.
Or just brings it really, like, home to me. Or, like, makes it, like, understand it way better.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, the commentary, too, of, like, what people comment. Like, oh, like, I was thinking that, too. Or, like, mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't, like, think of that. Like, it's just really, it just really, like, brings the Bible to life, I guess.
Yeah. And then you, when you were prayed for first, and neither one of you spoke that first time.
Yeah.
You didn't quit.
No. Like, I think it just, we went home, and we talked about it. And, like, we were reading, like, more scriptures on it. And I think it just made us, like, more hungry for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Pray for it,
like,
every
even
night.
For, like, the spiritual gifts, too. Like, I find myself, like, okay, like, what does he have in store? Like, what do you want me to do here, like, on earth? Like, how can I, like, further advance, like, your kingdom?
Yes.
So,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Give
him
a hand. Oh, God is good.
Praise God. Yeah. Hungry.
Yeah. So, you know, we want to close the service. We'll just play a little bit of music. We're not going to stand and sing necessarily, but, you know, you could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit just sitting in your seat. You don't have to have anybody lay hands on you. It's a hunger and thirst. It's just, if you want to just close your eyes, because we're going to just lead you through a prayer. And if you may be filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you won't be. But if you're hungry and thirsty, you just might be if you yield. And you may feel like, as we're praying, you know, that there's just some words that want to come up from the inside that you've never heard before. Don't hold back. See, this is the Holy Spirit who wants to speak through you, but he needs your vocal cords and he needs your mouth. And it's a faith. It takes faith to do it. Believing these scriptures that we just explained to you, that Jesus is actually the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will come and baptize you with fire. That's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just close our eyes and put our mind upon these things. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that your presence is here among us. We thank you that you do desire to fill every believer to overflowing. You desire to live in a greater, fuller measure in our life.
Yes.
And so for the people that want to receive, you could just pray some simple prayer like this. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly
and
Father.
And you know, you don't even have to repeat, just... I would say put your hands out like you're going to receive a gift. This is an act of faith.
Yes.
That God will meet you. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to receive the fullness of you. And Lord, I want to have power to be a witness. I want to be a bold witness for you.
Yes.
I want to be able to pray in a heavenly language. I want to be able to praise you in a heavenly language, Lord, that comes from my spirit, from your spirit. Jesus, I ask you to baptize me now with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Mm.
Come upon me, clothe me with power from on high.
Yes.
And Lord, I believe because I've asked in faith that you would not deny me, that I do receive now the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right now. And there's a flow that will come if you will yield. It may be a couple syllables, but it's a heavenly language, a beautiful heavenly language, a gift of the Holy Spirit. Fill us now, Lord, to overflow.
Yes.
And for the people that have been filled with the Spirit, we just speak quietly, privately, out loud, right in our seat. That's okay to do. Just speaking privately, whispering in another tongue. We worship you, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, in the days to come, you fall like a mighty fire in this place, Lord. You fill every hungry, searching heart.
Yes.
We want your fullness, Holy Spirit. We want to do the works that you've called us to do. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit.
The first step to being filled with the Holy Spirit is, first of all, making sure that you are born again, born of the Spirit, like Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. When you surrender your life to Christ, when you recognize that you have done things outside of God, that you've done things for your own self, and you've really, in a sense, been your own God. You've been your own standard. Or you've adopted the world's standard.
You want to be born.
Part of the Holy Spirit's ministry is to convict of sin. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus, I want you to simply raise your hand high enough so I can see it, and then you can put it back down and we'll pray a prayer and you'll be filled with hallelujah. I see that hand. I want everybody to repeat this. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
I come to you.
I come to you.
And I ask for your mercy.
I ask for your mercy.
I ask you to forgive me of my sins.
I ask you to forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my rebellion against you.
Forgive me of my rebellion against you.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come in my
heart. I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life.
I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life.
I give you my life now.
I give you my life now.
I believe that you shed your blood for me.
Shed your blood for me.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
I believe. You have forgiven me of my sins.
You have forgiven me of my sins.
I thank you, Jesus. For raising from the dead.
For raising from the dead.
And making yourself available to me.
Making yourself available.
In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen.